All right. Well, we have all the commissioners, so I'm going to call our May 6th meeting to order today. And the first item on the agenda is our approving the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any questions or comments or friendly amendments? See none. All those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The minutes are approved. And then the next item is approving our loan portfolio. We have 9 loans that are a little over 3. We have 9 loans. I'm just looking at it now. I move to approve the loan portfolio today. Is there a second?
A second.
Rich, I'll turn it over to you to walk us through what we're reviewing for within the loan. All these loans. There's a lot of them today.
There are a lot. There's 9 of them. But there's not a whole lot to say about them. You know, this is the time of year when communities will provide us a line item budget for their upcoming capital projects and borrow for a full list of those projects. And that's what loans 1, 4, and 7 are doing. And then loans 2, 3, and 5 are for road work. And the remaining three loans are to borrow money for trucks. So that is all I have to say about the loans today. Does anybody have any questions?
As you would say, Rich, it seems pretty bread and butter.
Yes. I like that turn of phrase. Thank you.
Seeing there's no questions from the commissioners, all those in favor of approving our loan portfolio for today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
Well, loans are approved, and we have no old business, but we do have new business today with one of our kind of key staff members who are leaving. And so, Tom, I'm going to maybe turn it over to you, and you can talk to us about the accommodation and the work that Micah's done. And I don't think Micah's on the call, so.
Thanks, Sarah. Yes, Micah has decided that he wants to move on with life. But the fact is, I wanted to take this opportunity to celebrate what he had done and what BCPL had been able to do with Micah's help. When I got to BCPL, there were quite a few real estate problems that were just lingering issues that had been there for quite a while. And I was always impressed with Micah's ability to take a complex problem, break it down into smaller pieces, and then ultimately get it across the finish line. You know, for example, you know, when we were able to resolve the issues with the Lac des Flambeaux and Lac-Couturier tribes, those problems had existed for over a century. And yet we were able to find a way to get to the finish line to sell off all of our lands that were within reservation boundaries. We had lands that had been flooded for a long time by the Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company. And again, Micah had found a way to work out a transaction with them for them to acquire those lands. None of these lands were producing revenue for us. And so to be able to resolve these issues, sell those lands, move on, and buy other lands that are productive was very helpful to the agency. And I commend Micah for that. And I'm asking the board to officially commend him for his services. So.
Well, thank you, Tom. And as somebody who has been up to the Tomahawk office a few times and met with Micah and walked our public lands with Micah, I just want to echo your comments and just how grateful we are for the work that Micah has done over the last 10 plus years and how much he's helped BCPL really create the land portfolio and the work really kind of driving the whole vision up there. When is his last day? Tom, can you remind me?
It was actually last Friday.
It was last Friday. Okay. Yep. Is the plan to give him something officially like this or?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is my suggested language. I tried not to be overly flowery, but I tried to capture the essence of Micah and what he did for the agency and the board.
Yeah. No, I think it is well done. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners or thoughts on the accommodation? Tom, I don't think we need to do a formal motion to approve. I think we can just, unless there's any objection, unanimously agree to this. If that works for you, because I think we're all in sync on the work and the recognition.
Yeah, like I said, I queued this up for a board commendation because of the fact, the board is the entity that would be most familiar with his work as opposed to asking for something from the Gov's office. I thought this was just more appropriate for us. So.
And if there's no objection from the commissioners, since commendations are part of our state seal work, we're happy to format things and put the seal on it, Tom, and, do all the things, unless there are any objections from any of the commissioners.
No objections. Do you want us all to sign it as well, or?
That would be a nice touch. Like I said, what I was looking for was official board recognition, and whatever the commissioners felt like doing, if whether it's signing it or whatever, that's totally up to you. And I appreciate your question, Jen.
I mean, I certainly don't mind signing on to it.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I mean, we sign enough stuff, right? So.
Yeah, I'm happy to sign as well. And Tom, is there anything you need us to do other than not object or?
At this point, a call for unanimous consent would be wonderful. I will then get it, put together in a way that, could be ultimately signed by the commissioners. But I just want to let him know that we appreciate him. So.
Great. Well, I have no objection to Sarah's call for unanimous consent.
Me either.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks for putting this together, Tom, and let us know how we can help in coordination.
Will
do. And again, thank you to Micah. So we will make sure to send our appreciation and congratulations. All right, moving on to routine business. We have the Chief Investment Officer's report, and so we have a quarterly investment update. So Rich, I will turn it over to you to walk us through the portfolio report.
Thanks, Sarah. The board packet today includes the two regular reports that are constructed for the Common School Fund and updated for today's meeting. Overall, I would like to report a quiet first quarter. But as always, quiet around here is a relative term, and annual state trust fund loan payments were due on March 15th. BCPL received over $54 million in principal payments, including regular scheduled payments and a number of prepayments, along with over $13 million in interest income from our borrowers. Denise always has a full calendar during the month of March. Looking at the portfolio report on page 8 of the packet, you will notice that my favorite number in the bottom right-hand corner, projected income for the next 12 months, is now above $73 million. That number is about $3 million higher than the projection at year-end, and that is despite having lower loan balances following the March 15th payments. When the state investment fund is paying interest at today's rate of around 4.4%, increasing those cash reserves does not produce much of a penalty in the short run. Of course, since the beginning of the year, the big speculation has been the potential impact of tariffs on U.S. markets. There has been some market turmoil, But BCPL managed trust funds are well protected from short-term fluctuations because we have a diversified portfolio with a long-term investment horizon. The conclusion might sound familiar to those that have read cover letters from their 401k or deferred comp accounts. There are some wild days happening in the public markets, but you might be better off not looking at your statement every day. But I was still curious. And having never used ChatGPT before, I was also curious about what ChatGPT might have to say about the long-term impact of tariffs on U.S. endowment portfolios. Here's a breakdown of the main impacts according to ChatGPT. First, market volatility. ChatGPT states that tariffs can increase uncertainty in global trade, leading to fluctuations in equity markets. Endowments with exposure to international equities may experience heightened risk and volatility. My response to that is that we have all seen that tariffs, or at least the wobbly changes in tariff policy, have led to volatility in the equity markets. However, BCPL is balanced between U.S. and global equities and should be well positioned to withstand that volatility. The second major impact, according to ChatGPT, is sector shifts. ChatGPT warns that industries affected by tariffs, such as manufacturing and agriculture, can see declines or shifts in profitability. Endowments heavily invested in these sectors may need to reassess their allocations. My take on that is that BCPL invests in public equities through a broad-based index fund, so we should be insulated from individual sector risks. The third major impact, according to ChatGPT, is regarding inflation and interest rates. ChatGPT indicates that tariffs often lead to higher prices for imported goods, contributing to inflation. If inflation rises significantly, the Federal Reserve may adjust interest rates, influencing the value of fixed income investments in endowment portfolios. My response to that is that we've already experienced a significant decline of value in our fixed income portfolio over the past several years. Note on page 8 that unrealized losses in the Common School Fund portfolio are concentrated in fixed income, along with preferred stock and real estate, which are two other sectors impacted by higher interest rates. However, these declines have not had an impact on our distributions. The consensus of many pundits these days is that interest rates will stay, quote, higher for longer. If these predictions hold true, it might actually be a positive for our beneficiaries in the form of higher distributable income. The decline in value seen within individual sectors does not have a great impact on our beneficiaries. That's because, unlike many endowments, BCPL distributions are not set as a fixed percentage of the total value at year end. As required in the Wisconsin Constitution, we just add earned interest, dividends, and short-term capital gains to distributable income. And the fourth and last main impact of tariffs, according to ChatGPT, includes alternative investments. ChatGPT suggests that endowments might seek refuge in alternative assets, such as private equity, real estate, or commodities, to mitigate tariff-related risks. BCPL might be ahead of the curve here, with significant allocations already to private debt and real estate. In fact, the investment committee just approved slightly higher allocations to private debt, private equity, and infrastructure that we will be recommending to the board at an upcoming meeting. I think the main takeaway from this discussion should be that BCPL is well diversified, which shields us from the daily volatility we see in the public markets these days. Our long-term investment horizon and focus on distributions rather than investment values are critical elements in our strategy, which has produced record distributions several years running. With the recent distribution of $70 million and a forecast of over $73 million in investment income over the next 12 months, it looks like we are well positioned to continue growing distributions into the foreseeable future. One final thing I would like to discuss before we move on is our commitment to venture capital. In the past, we have talked about how market conditions over the past few years have delayed potential exits in the VC market. Valuation multiples are down, and founders remain reluctant to sell. BCPL still not experienced many exits, but there's some positive news in our venture portfolio. one of our funds recently increased our share of just one investment by more than 1.5 times our cost in the entire fund. We have a cost of about $10 million in this fund, and our share of this one company was marked up by about $15 million. This company is in the healthcare services industry and developed a payment application that acts as an interface between patients and their healthcare systems. Payment amounts and timing using this application have improved dramatically, and both patients and healthcare providers are giving the system great reviews. We have our fingers crossed as this system continues to get deployed. We hope the valuation continues to improve prior to a potential exit, but until there's money in the bank, it's just a number on a piece of paper. But if that piece of paper is page 8 in your packet, you will note that the unrealized gain shown in the middle columns for our private equity venture capital allocation has improved significantly over prior quarters. Are there any questions before we move on to the asset allocation report on page 9? If not, as I suggested in the past, now that we are closing in on our target allocations, increases in future distributions will likely come from increasing the value of total managed assets rather than an increase in the average yield produced by those assets. If we are not able to increase deposits from unclaimed property and fines and forfeitures, which we do not control, the only way to increase the fund balance will be to improve our total expected rate of return and develop long-term capital gains to be added to fund principal. In the past, I've given a few examples showing how a small increase in the return over very long periods of time might impact future generations. But these decisions also have an impact on today's school-aged children. Let me provide an example that focuses on a shorter time frame, say 10 years rather than 150. Our current common school fund balance is about $1.5 billion. Not counting additions from fines and forfeitures or unclaimed property, if long-term capital gains from investments add 1% annually, the balance of the common school fund will increase by $157 million over the next 10 years. But if long-term capital gains from investments add 2% annually, the balance of the common school fund would increase by $328 million over the next 10 years. That difference between an increase of 1% and 2% each year would provide the extra assets necessary to produce an additional $8.4 million in annual distributions by year 10. With that, I just want to say that I look forward to our next meeting or two when we will be discussing the investment committee recommendations for shifting common school fund allocations to a slightly higher growth model. That's all I have for today. Does anybody have any questions? You're on mute, Sarah.
Thanks, Rich. I said, really appreciate the thorough report and addressing the kind of current market conditions that I think a lot of people, there's some anxiety around the unknown and how that's going to impact the common school fund. And it's helpful, I think, to reiterate to the commissioners how well diversified we are when we think about the best kind of protection we can have against the unknown.
That's right. Everybody sees those headlines and it worries people, right? And so knowing that we have a permanent time horizon and we can ride these things out with a diversified portfolio is important to understand.
Yeah. And Rich, I know that there were some, were there any major investments that were made in the last quarter that you want to highlight to the commissioners?
Well, as I pointed out at the last meeting or the meeting before, we did make a new commitment to a fund that is managed by Prudential in the private debt markets. We've been very happy with our commitment to the Prudential Senior Loan Opportunities Fund 1. And so the investment committee decided that it was a good idea to make a commitment to Fund 2. As Fund 1 starts to pay down, we'll have another commitment to that same strategy with the same people, and we're excited to increase our allocation there.
And just to remind the commissioners, and when those investment decisions are made, there's a lot of due diligence that goes behind that, a lot of conversation, and the commitment was $25 million. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I included it on. I included that commitment on page 9. You can see at the bottom of the private debt sector. Even though we did not close on that commitment until the middle of April.
Great. Any other questions for Rich about the investment portfolio? Well, thank you, Rich. We really appreciate it.
Very welcome.
We're moving on to Tom's and the board, or sorry, the executive secretary's report.
Thanks, Sarah. I don't have the same kind of good news that Rich has there, but nonetheless, Joint Finance Committee is scheduled to meet on Thursday with a plan to take the governor's budget back to base. And the accounting position we requested is part of those changes. It's still unclear as to whether this position is completely out or just out until our agency budget is considered. And we're talking with JFC members about the importance of keeping this position in the budget. We'll keep you apprised. It seems like some of the things that came through in the meeting notice for Thursday seemed to be a little bit of a surprise to some of the members of Joint Finance. So I'm going to keep working at it. We are likely to have a submerged lake bed lease up for board consideration at the next board meeting. We're still working the final bugs out. And this is going to be for some submerged land up in the Superior, Wisconsin area. So just giving you a heads up, it won't take that much longer, but it's something a little bit out of the ordinary. And so you may want to give yourself a little bit more time to read the board materials for next time. The other thing that's very unusual is that someone applied for a submerged logging permit. And in my entire time with BCPL, I think I've seen two requests for a submerged logging permit. One of them was withdrawn. Long ago, far away, when this responsibility was given to BCPL, there was a belief that the bottom of Shawamigan Bay and a number of the waters of the state were full of sunken logs that had tons of value. Well, long ago, there was a stampede to BCPL to get these submerged logging permits, which also required approval from the DNR, from the Army Corps of Engineers, from the Historical Society, and I believe from the tribes. Well, if you can imagine, getting all those approvals was rather arduous, and there weren't a whole lot of people that were able to do that. But the ones that got through, out of all the people that applied and all the people that actually sought submerged logs, to the best of my knowledge, there were only two logs that were pulled up that had any value. And that was because when you think about how logs were moved years ago, the logs that were moved by water were the ones that could float. And so there really weren't that many logs that of value that moved by water or sank. So, but there's someone who's interested. And so we are just starting to go through the review process. And I don't know if we're going to need board review or not at this point, since this is something that happens so rarely. So just giving you a heads up. A public records request. I don't normally notify the board of these, but we received an open records request for contact information for our staff and commissioners. And I believe this is the same request that was sent to all state agencies and municipalities without a contact phone number or physical address. This was a mixed request for records and information, but we provided the requested information and links to the websites for the commissioner's offices. Our reply bounced back as undeliverable. I sent it again, but this time with delivery and read requests. It bounced back again. I sent it a third time with delivery and read requests. This time it was delivered, but no read response. So we've done our best to comply, as the requester has now started posting some of the responses that he has gotten from different entities. It'll be interesting how this plays out. I just want to make sure the commissioners were aware that this requester was asking for information, not just of BCPL staff, but also of commissioners' contact information. And what we did is we provided links to the agency websites for the commissioners. So that is my report for today. Any questions on any of these interesting topics or anything else?
Go ahead.
No, you can go, Jen.
I got the same request, and I sent 3 emails, and they all bounced back. So I have no idea what's going on there.
I'm glad I heard somebody else was struggling with that as well. So,
well, we appreciate the heads up, Tom. Quite an interesting report between open records request and log submerged application. So you just never know what we're gonna hear in your report, Tom.
It is shocking sometimes when you look at the ancillary responsibilities of our small agency. I forgot one other thing. Sure. Most of you know that we actually have the old original land records for the state, and that we had scanned them and indexed them 20 some years ago. Well, the fact is they weren't really on a BCPL website. They were actually on the UW Digital Collections page, which looked like a BCPL webpage, but actually what we had was a link to UW Digital Collections. But we had worked with the folks at UW Digital Collections to rescan all of those records, so that people would be able to get a much better view of those documents from 100 and some years ago. And the UW has finished rescanning them and is currently working at indexing them and making them available. And we're hoping that it will actually be available by the end of the fiscal year. So in the midst of everything else we're doing, we're actually upgrading our technology and making some of our records more accessible than ever before. Now that's the end of my report.
Well, thank you, Tom. Any other questions from the commissioners? See none. Moving on to my report, I have nothing to report at this time. So any future agenda items? I move to adjourn the meeting. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. All those in favor of adjourning our meeting today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
Our meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.
Yep. Have a great day.